there are like 150 performers. And all those performers, they expect to be fed.
The story behind bringing 27 music and performing acts to the Southeast Alaska State Fair. And stay with us for a special feature that digs into the local news archives as KHNS celebrates 30 years. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Sea Alaska shareholders re-elected four board incumbents in ballots counted at the Southeast Regional Native Corporation's annual meeting. They also rejected a measure that would have weakened board powers. The meeting was held Saturday in Craig. The top vote-getters were Patrick Anderson, Clarence Jackson, Jackie Johnson-Peta, and Jody Mitchell. They won three-year terms, defeating eight challengers, most critical of the corporation's business practices. Placing fifth was Michael Beasley, who authored a resolution to largely end the practice of discretionary voting. Sea Alaska's board opposed the resolution. Discretionary voting allows shareholders to turn their ballot decisions over to the board. Critics say it gives management an unfair advantage in elections. About 60% of votes cast opposed the resolution. Former Sea Alaska Chief Financial Officer Richard Reinhart and former Corporate Communications Vice President Ross Soboleff placed 6th and 7th in the board election. Each incumbent won about twice as many votes as each of the top challengers. After the meeting, Sea Alaska directors voted to keep Albert Kukesh as board chairman and Rosita Worrell as vice chairwoman. Kukesh is a state senator from Angoon, and Worrell heads up the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. The board also voted to keep Chris McNeil as president and CEO and Rick Harris as executive vice president. Other top managers were also retained. Directors also appointed Barbara Blake from Heidelberg as youth board advisor. Blake works for the Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. Sea Alaska has close to 21,000 shareholders and distributes dividends twice a year. Officials could not be reached for immediate comment.
All right, put their hands together around here for a big train.
The entertainment lineup for this year's Southeast Alaska State Fair is posted. It's a wild assortment of front porch pickers, hip-hop rhymers, kung fu acrobats, and funk to make you dance. But the work that goes into bringing 27 different acts to Haines, Alaska has just begun.
Including the Juno Jumpers, there are like 150 performers. And all those performers, they expect to be fed. And they really like to have their transportation covered. And I think over 50 of them do require housing.
Megan Sherman is the entertainment coordinator for the fair. She leads all the work that goes into getting performers for the four-day summer festival to Haines. That includes raising money to help pay for artist travel. And this Wednesday, a live performance by an artist from last year's fair is doing just that. The Whiskey Dicks are playing the Red Onion Saloon in Skagway on Wednesday. The fundraiser, actually,
we're calling it a fundraiser,
is to raise money to bring musicians, jugglers, dancers, and performers to the fair. And that's not cheap, says Sherman.
To get, say, an artist like a John Fogerty would be like probably about $100,000. To get John Prine would be like about $50,000. And we have, for our entire four-day fair, we have less than just a one John Prine. So, I mean, that gives you a sense of what we're dealing with. We're trying to do a lot with that.
Since Southeast Alaska can't really offer top dollar to attract big names, it relies on some other strengths that no one else can offer.
You know, and so what we try to kind of compensate for our lower fees by having people just come out of the woodwork to just give a large dose of hospitality. And so over the years, that's been a crucial component to the entertainment program.
The experience that artists get at the Southeast Alaska State Fair is not their typical stop on the tour circuit, where a performer might stay in a generic hotel, eat the same food, and drink the same beer they might in any other town.
Yeah, they may not even know where they are.
That out-of-the-ordinary experience that the artists get in Haines is just one way organizers attract musicians we can't really afford, says Sherman.
Most of the time, we would prefer to put people in people's homes because it gives them such a different experience. And the people that house them, you know, aren't required to feed them or host them or anything. But we do invite people to share their homes with these performers. And it's kind of like a cultural exchange. You know, the performers get a taste of our lifestyle, and the people housing them get, you know, a taste of a whole different world. We also connect the artists with adventures. They might float down the Chilkat River, or they might even go over to Glacier Point. They might go on a fishing vessel and go check crab pots, or go just whale watching, or, you know, go to the lighthouse or something like that. And those are, you know, incredibly memorable experiences. It's kind of our way of giving back for what those performers are really giving to our community.
Wednesday's fundraiser in Skagway helps pay for artist travel costs, the green room, and artist fees for the Southeast Alaska State Fair. The fair entertainment fundraiser is Wednesday, June 30th at the Red Onion Saloon in Skagway, with live music from the Whiskey Dicks, a band that performed at last year's fair. There's a $10 donation at the door, and the Haines Skagway Fast Ferry is running a special for Haines fans. In recognition of the KHNS 30th anniversary, we're bringing you a special feature, News from Your Past. Here's a peek into the KHNS local news archives. This is past KHNS newscaster Mario Juarez with a story introduced by John Hedrick from the 1985 KHNS fundraiser.
The bang, as it turned out, was a lot bigger than anyone expected. A full box of fireworks ignited accidentally.
A fire truck rolled through the streets of the city, lights flashing and siren blaring, to open the one-week membership marathon. Radio station staff members waited at the field next to the Sheldon Museum with nearly $200 worth of firecrackers, rockets, noisemakers, and other fancy pyrotechnics. A remote transmitter carried the event live over the radio. Firemen Dick Jackson and Bob Adkins had set up a plywood launching pad. Dozens of onlookers, tourists, curious locals, workers on lunch break, stood around and waited expectantly as the countdown began for the Big Bang.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
yeah! What the hell? But nothing happened. KHNS's Bob Schwalbach and the firemen had trouble igniting the fuses on some bottle rockets they hoped would open the event. Several matches later, they succeeded. But then, the unexpected happened. Before anybody knew what was happening, the box that held the rest of the fireworks, including more than 1,000 firecrackers, was in flames. Suddenly, the box exploded. Sparks blew out in every direction. Spectators ran behind cars, trucks, and each other. Fireman Jackson fell to the ground and rolled away from the flaming box as black smoke poured forth and the inferno roared on. Flaming bottle rockets, whistling helicopters, Piccolo Pete's, and news transmitters blew out of the blaze. Mothers clutched their children. People didn't know whether to laugh or duck. It was an intense mix of abject fear and total hysteria. By the time the initial blast subsided, Fireman Jackson still wasn't sure what went wrong.
I don't know. I had my back to it when it started.
Bottle rockets streamed away from the fire, strafing surprised spectators. Jackson figured maybe the box of firecrackers was too close to the action.
Rather, what happened, the spark from one of the other fireworks that we just lit off went up in the air, and the wind picked it up the wrong way, and we fell right into that box.
What through your mind when that box went off?
I won't say what went through my mind, but it was something like, gee whiz.
Many people had tears in their eyes from laughing so hard, including Dick Flagle.
It was insane. At first I thought, wow, something lit that box off and we're going to have a little display here. And then there was joy, and then pretty soon everything was just going crazy. And then there was terrifying fear. Everybody was taken off. I was hiding behind the car, still trying to kind of watch, but actually thinking I was nuts for even looking. Then things really got blown out of proportion, and they slowed down again, and then I was laughing again. It was, I've never seen a better fireworks display. I congratulate you. And I'm really glad that nobody got hurt, because that could have been really dangerous. But it turned out okay, and it was terrific.
Others like Julie Woodrow were simply dazzled.
H&S really knows how to do it upright.
Station members were pleased that their fundraiser got off to such an exciting start. As many put it, it sure was a big bang. The experience was even educational, says morning DJ Joanne Waterman.
Yeah, I think that we could learn not to set the box within 3 feet of where you're setting off the fireworks from.
The fundraiser will continue through the rest of the week, but it's doubtful that it will get more exciting than when the big blast made a big blast. For KHNS, this is Mario Juarez reporting.
Thanks, Mario.
Duck, everybody.
KHNS's Big Bang incident, the kickoff of this year's 1985 fundraiser in support of public radio.
That was the 1985 John Hedrick and Mario Juarez in News from Your Past, a special feature running during the KHNS membership drive to commemorate 30 years of community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. I'm Tara Bicknell with KHNS Local News. Thanks for getting your news on KHNS Radio. We appreciate your support.
Hi, this is Andy Berry, and I listen to KHNS, whether you're stranded on a mountain or watching Dick Jackson as he goes into combat mode with the fireworks. KHNS is always there for you.